You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
In this bulletin, a call for justice after the Northern Territory Police fatally shot an Aboriginal man this weekend. A state of emergency declared in New South Wales over catastrophic fire conditions. And Aged Care Royal Commission continues in Hobart today. Elders in the Central Desert community of Uwendumu are calling for Northern Territory Police to leave their community. Tensions have flared up in Uwendumu after the shooting of 19-year-old Walpiri man Kumanjai Walker on Saturday night. Residents are expressing shock and anger over the actions of the Northern Territory Police and are calling for justice. The ABC reported this morning that the family of the man fatally shot by police on Saturday night were not told the man had died until the following morning, at least 10 hours after the shooting. Northern Territory Police say there was a warrant for the arrest of Kumanjai Walker, but do not say what the alleged weapon was or why tasers were not used in the attempted arrest. Australia is on track to close the gap for vision for Indigenous Australians by the end of next year. But this won't be achieved without ongoing support for long-term solutions, according to a new report. The 2019 annual update on the implementation of the roadmap to close the gap for vision reveals that 50% of systemic issues identified in Indigenous eye care have been fixed. And progress is being made on all of the intermediary steps, with almost 80% complete. Outreach eye examinations received by Indigenous Australians have almost tripled in the last 6 years. Nearly 8 years since launching this plan to improve the eye health of Indigenous Australians, University of Melbourne ophthalmologist Hugh Taylor said significant advances are also being made to meet the WHO target for the elimination of trachoma by the end of 2020.
Our goal is to put in place the long-term sustainable solutions to give equity in eye care to Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And we hope by the end of next year, by the end of 2020, we'll have those systems in place. But some of them will be quite new and will need to have ongoing support and maintenance to be fully established to be able to continue to provide the eye care that every Australian deserves.
New South Wales Police has declared a state of emergency for New South Wales, actually not police, the authorities have declared a state of emergency for 7 days, starting immediately as bushfires rage across the state. The New South Wales fires have claimed 3 lives and so far destroyed more than 150 homes. Blazes are raging from the state's northern border with Queensland down to the mid-north coast, out to the state's central west and south towards the Illawarra. Premier Gladys Berejiklian says the last time a state of emergency was declared in the state was 2013, when there were extensive bushfires in the Blue Mountains. She's urging people to fully cooperate with advice from emergency services.
I want to assure the people of New South Wales that this is a precautionary stance. This is to make sure that we leave no stone unturned to keep our community safe tomorrow. I want to thank the heads of all the agencies for their cooperation and support. Everybody is fully supportive of this decision. Everybody is fully on board with what needs to happen.
Catastrophic fire danger has been declared for the Sydney and Hunter regions on Tuesday, with severe and extreme danger across vast tracts of the rest of the state. Rural Fire Service Commissioner Shane Fitzsimmons says weather conditions are expected to significantly worsen in the coming days and has urged people to follow directions.
Under catastrophic conditions, the safest thing you can do is not be in an at-risk area. Catastrophic conditions, the focus is principally and foremost on life safety. Life is at risk when it comes to catastrophic conditions, and as we've said for decades now, we cannot guarantee a fire truck at every home. We cannot guarantee an aircraft will be overhead every time a fire is impacting on your property.
In the meantime, Queensland's bushfire threat has eased, with authorities scrambling to gain control before conditions worsen again later this week. Four homes are confirmed lost in the latest fires, and about a dozen other structures have also been lost. Crews are continuing to fight three major fires across the state, including one that remains uncontained at Cobrabal, southwest of Yeppoon in central Queensland. The Deputy Minister, Prime Minister, has launched an attack against the behaviour of people linking climate change to bushfires in Queensland and New South Wales. Michael McCormack also defended the Morrison government's decision not to meet with senior fire and emergency service leaders demanding action on climate change. There are still 47 fires burning in Queensland, and firefighters across Sydney and New South Wales are bracing for catastrophic conditions tomorrow. Mr. McCormack has told the ABC providing shelter and protection for those affected by the fires is now the top priority.
What people need now is a little bit of sympathy, understanding and real assistance. They need help. They need shelter.
Why is it wrong to ask those questions?
Well, they don't need the ravings of some pure, enlightened and woke capital city greenies at this time when they're trying to save their homes.
And former Chief of the Defence Force David Harley delivered his first Remembrance Day address as Governor General at the Australian War Memorial in Canberra. At the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, Australians, veterans and their families gathered across the country to remember the nation's fallen servicemen and women during battle. This time marks the day Germany signed a truce in France in 1918, ending the First World War. Around 416,000 Australians enlisted in that war, and 60,000 of them never returned home. The operations of two major aged care providers in Tasmania are to be examined by the Royal Commission this week. During 5 days of public hearings beginning today in Hobart, the Aged Care Royal Commission will examine Southern Cross Care and Bupa facilities in the state. Both have had facilities sanctioned, and the commission will explore the quality and safety of care given to residents and the decision-making of those working at the homes. And overseas, Bolivia's military chief has called on President Evo Morales to resign after his re-election victory touched off weeks of fraud allegations and deadly violence. President Morales called for new elections following the protests over the disputed vote he claimed to have won. South America's longest-serving leader made the announcement after a preliminary report by the Organization of American States found irregularities in the October 20 presidential contest and recommended a new election. Mr. Morales called for calm.
We will have a new national election that will allow the Bolivian people to democratically elect its new representatives. Brothers and sisters in the media and the people of Bolivia, after making this decision, I want to call on everybody to reduce the tension. We all have a duty to pacify Bolivia. I'm calling for respect among families, respect for property, and respect for authority and for all social groups.
Meanwhile, the main opposition candidate, Carlos Mesa, called on Mr. Morales to resign and said he should not be allowed to run again for the presidency. And dozens of pro-democracy protesters have attended a Remembrance Day ceremony in Hong Kong. Protesters donning face masks and holding flags of Britain, Canada and the United States were among the guests attending the ceremony to remember those killed in war. 58-year-old protester Samson Ling says the significance of Remembrance Day hasn't always been recognized in Hong Kong, but that's changing.
Before, Hong Kong is not so recognized of this event. But after the extradition law happened in Hong Kong, and people knowing that the history of Hong Kong, and now so we are here to have giving a memory of the soldiers who died for the Hong Kong.
Back home, an analysis of 281 opinion pieces in the mainstream media recommends more be done to allow people to complain if they consider a piece to be racist or offensive. The report produced by the University of Technology and not-for-profit organization Altogether Now found that 57% of race-related opinion pieces in the Australian media negatively portrayed Australian racial minorities. The report's authors say Muslims and Islam were overrepresented in the media stories across online, television and print. Jennifer McLean, Project Manager of Media Monitoring at Altogether Now, says in the internet age, current regulations governing complaints need to be reviewed.
We also found that these media regulatory frameworks currently have a time limit in which people can make complaints, and that's 30 days. And we believe that in an internet age where media is available online for a long time, people should have a much longer period in which they're able to make these complaints.
And now having a look at the weather around the country, Perth, a mostly sunny day, a top of 31. Adelaide, an evening cool change, 34. Melbourne, partly cloudy, 28. Hobart, showers developing, 24. Albury, Wodonga, a sunny day, 25. Canberra, mostly sunny, 26. Wollongong, similar conditions, 25. Sydney, also mostly sunny, but 27. Newcastle, much the same, 26 degrees. Brisbane, mostly sunny, 28. Townsville, mostly sunny as well, 29. Cairns, partly cloudy, 31. Alice Springs, sunny day, 31. Darwin, sunny as well, and a top of 35. And the Torres Strait Islands, a mostly cloudy day, and a top of 29. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.